Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Somebody on the text line said, you know, I got in my radio, I'm listening to this interview, and I notice, I think it might be a little odd that he calls him Kyle. He doesn't call him Coach Shanahan. Look, so often in the NFL, it is first name basis. It's just the way it is. I guarantee you, most New England Patriots call him Bill. Seriously. It's the coaches who present the call me coach is a level of insecurity that you usually see from guys trying to prove themselves like Deion Sanders, or guys who have been proven you might not know as much as you think you do like Jason Garrett. The call me coach is a position of weakness. It's like the scene in Game of Thrones. No real king ever demanded to be called king.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only answer to call me coach is no.
Unless you're a rookie.
Even if you're a rookie. Because if you're signed to a deal, somebody's got to pay you money whether they cut you or not.
I mean, here's the way I look at it. It's like a terms of endearment. You know, like, I like Steve Kerr enough to where I walk past him in the hallway and I'll say, hey, coach, how are you? Like, to me, I look at it as a term of endearment.
And it creeps him out, just so you know.
Maybe it does. But did Debo lay down a burp on you guys?
He
is he that comfortable?
Did.
Yeah,
yes.
No, there's definitely a burp in there. Many people have noticed that. Thank you very much.
Was that in relation to the meat question?
No.
No, it was just
just slipped right into the middle of the interview, and I respect it.
He gave it free.
No comment on that.
Yeah. How about the fact that the biggest play of the day probably should have been scuttled from the snap when he was lined up on the wrong side? And I got to say that somebody last night matched up the play to the question that we were asking him.
Yeah.
And at one point, they zoomed in on Sherfield and Debo standing next to each other. And there was absolutely a, what are you doing over here? Going on that field. That is amazing. And his answer, you know, how do you score that in the film room the next day? Is that a minus or a plus? It was a minus until it was a plus. That's how sports works, I guess.
Everything's on a curve. Well, you stink unless you make it work.
It's the same as the, you know, Steve Kerr has talked about in his first year, the sort of no, yes moments with Steph Curry. It's the same idea, right? It's like, what are you doing? Oh, great job.
Yeah, that worked. What do you know?
Yeah, and if you have to do three of those, then you can no longer say, what are you doing?
That's right. Then it's just, oh, okay, he's doing his thing.
Yeah.
Should we call you guys host?
Please don't.
Host Kolsky?
That's so weird.
Host Ratto?
Don't call me at all unless you got money.
I mean, seriously, who demands to be referred to by their job title other than monarchy? It's ridiculous behavior.
But even then's not true, because they'd say, your highness, not king.
Right.
Hey,
but I mean,
kingy, what's up?
Yeah, but it's still, you know, what you're doing is something that has to be a part of your name. But
the maestro?
Oh, you'd so
exactly.
You'd so want to be called your highness, because it would mean you were high.
Your royal
if
highness.
If that's your job.
Yeah, I don't need the royal.
Nevertheless, if you're high and somebody says your highness, that is not only an accurate description of your job, it's a term of endearment, to quote a great man.
Yeah, it's not my job just to get high, unfortunately. I have yet to find that job opening.
Well, Let me tell you where it might be waiting for you, Matt.
The state fair?
The state fair is coming for you. Now, I don't know how many times anyone here has ever gone to a state fair. Normally, the only things that they're judging and measuring is like the biggest squash.
And a pig.
The fattest heifer.
The prize pig,
yeah,
maybe.
The plumpest pig of the bunch. You know, state fairs throughout the Midwest are basically one long, can you deep fry it dare? It's all it is. It's like they're actually at That's Indiana correct. A couple years ago, they were serving deep fried sticks of butter.
Really?
Deep fried sticks of butter.
That is extreme even by Midwest standards, but certainly every mass produced dessert has been deep fried at a state fair somewhere in your favorite Midwestern state. You know, Oreos, Twinkies, Ho-Hos, every single mass manufactured dessert you can imagine.
Shoes.
The occasional shoe.
Okay, you're from the Midwest. When you deep fry butter, what do you coat it in to make the breading stick?
This is a great question.
That is a good question.
It's probably some sort of a very sticky, gooey, like tempura level batter.
Boy, that's a great question.
It really is. It really is.
I was kind of hoping that they would take a stick of butter, coat it in a stick of butter, and then fry it.
So you got to take the butter to like deep freeze level temperatures to where you're basically lifting it out of a barrel of nitrogen? What makes things cold?
Liquid nitrogen.
Liquid nitrogen. Thank you very much. They liquid nitrogen these bad boys because it's got to survive the frying process too. So you got to start with a deep freezed piece of butter to where you fry it to a now I can lick it like a lollipop.
Like the
deep fried stick of butter.
Yeah, like the wonderful Mexican dessert, fried ice cream.
I tell you all of that to tell you this. When it comes to how do you get down at the state fair, of course, California's got the coolest one. So among the livestock and food competitions, there's going to be a new award handed out for Top Pot.
That's what it's referred to?
Top Pot. We're getting answers on just which cannabis competition, how it will be judged. I don't know how you sign up for judgment right there, but this is like basically taking the cannabis cup and taking it out of the Amsterdam and putting it on the state fairgrounds in Sacramento.
Listen, I'm available is all I'm saying.
So you do want a job as your highness?
Well, it's like a side gig, I think. I don't think that's full time, but yeah, I'm available for that.
Yes, sir.
Freelancing dope fiend.
Yeah. Now, that has always been a reasonably accurate description of me. It's just it's a descriptor of me, not of the job.
It's like you're a contractor. You're available to be brought in.
Of course.
So
consultant.
Cal Expo's board of directors have approved the Top Pot competition.
It's called Top Pot.
Its purpose is to recognize the quality contributions of California's cannabis cultivators.
Yeah, man.
It's a growing industry. Wink, wink.
Hey, now. Those are people that deserve recognition, you know?
Totally.
The great growers of our fair state's greatest marijuana deserve their flowers. You see what I did there?
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
I'm going to tell you right now. The one that most looks like it's been hit with a coating that coats frosted flakes is going to win. Because we eat with our eyes first, don't we?
It's true.
We do eat with
our eyes. Look, the look and the smell. I guarantee you, in the judging of the cannabis, look and smell are part of the criterias. Like, you can't. It could be the hardest hitting stuff in the world. If it doesn't have a decent look about it, that can't win.
It's like when you're putting up competition style ribs, you got to take them right from out of the middle of the rack of ribs. You can't be serving some crusty toenail end of the rib.
When you bring your dog to the dog show, you give them the finest spa treatment before you get there. You don't show up raggedy. Come on now.
Come on. Come on. Ray, come on.
Fair. Listen, I'm still trying to get my head around fried butter.
888.
I do favor a Top Pot show like Top Chef on maybe Bravo that just like goes to a different city each year and samples the marijuana of the locals.
Great. One more show with Snoop on it.
It could work. By the way, Snoop and Martha Stewart are going to put out a Halloween special. The two of them have chemistry. I swear to God. I can make this argument a little bit later, but we got to do it on the other side of the break. We'll come on back in just a moment. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7, The Game.
We have an awful lot of stuff to get into in terms of baseball. When games go final, we will get recapping everything that has happened today, and we'll let you know what's going on as the standings are going to be in flux, or maybe not. We'll let you know when things go final. But in the meantime, a very good point has been brought up here on the text line, and as we approach 4:20 in the afternoon, I guess this is the perfect place to discuss this, as we'll have all day long. Certainly the timing is close to being right. We were just talking about how the State Fair of California is going to have a top pot competition. And somebody said here on the text line from the 650 is that the only problem I have with the top pot competition is after the second or third hit. How can you even tell what's good and what's not? And isn't there a carryover effect? This is a brilliant observation. And I'm just going to put out what I think would be the only fair way to do it. You just can't have, you know, how long does this last? I mean, I would say that this would have to be a several day long competition. And like Major League Baseball games, it would have to last for several hours at a time, you would think. Because let's say you tried your first sample at 12 noon. The second sample can't be sampled until you've come down from the original high to really compare it, or else you're sort of like compounding how high you are on top of how high you just were. So you'd figure that there's got to be time in between the actual samples that could even range several days.
Or you have a series of judges who you somehow scientifically determine get high at the same rate. Because otherwise, yeah, a four-day competition, even for figuring out pot, is probably longer than the audience wants.
Oh, I don't know about that. First of all, it's a patient audience. They're very high. Second of all, the state fair usually lasts a couple weeks,
yeah,
right? I mean,
yeah.
It's, you know, it takes a while to get through all the pigs and cows. I think you could play it out over the course of 2 weeks, you know?
But here's the thing. Even if we found us all are the exact same whatever weight class you're trying to define here. Whatever I smoke at this time, if I smoke the next thing that close to this thing were compounding, and how do you separate where the high began and ended and all that? So
and
I think,
you want to give it time, you know. Some weeds are sort of creepers, you know. It takes a minute.
My point is you get a panel of judges who can achieve this scientific miracle, and then give them different rates of pot, and the last guy to slide off his chair, that's the pot that wins.
It is 420 right now.
Welcome, everyone.
To those who observe.
Yeah. So, what's, by the way, just to let everyone know.
Sanchi.
That happened yesterday. Sanchi. So did this.
Good old Sanchi.
That's
good
right.
Good old Sanchi. I wish I hadn't trampled that with my giggles.
We're going to have, think of every show that's trying to enjoy the soundbite.
Sanchi. Good old Sanchi.
It's okay, though. It's a funny thing.
It was funny.
Look,
he said it twice.
He did it twice, man. Yeah, we're ready for Top Pot.
We really are.
We're ready. But look, there is some science to this. There is going to have to be an agreed upon fairest way to do it, and it's not as cut and dry as you would originally think. And unlike any sort of, you know, wine tasting or sampling type of competition, there is no palate cleanser.
You can't really spit it out.
Yeah, there's no real palate cleanser there.
Like, it's not just going to be, like, which one gets you highest, because you can measure that science. You can, like, measure the THC percentage, right? So there's got to be, like, it's got to be as much art as science, the judging of Top Pot.
It's not going to be any more artistic than wine, because wine, and this has been proven, actually, scientifically, you can give a judge the same vintage 2 years in a row. I mean, literally, maybe even out of the same bottle, and their scores are radically different every year.
Well, it's also there's aeration.
There's actually no science to wine tasting and wine competitions, and they found that to be true, which is why a lot of vineyards don't even bother anymore.
There you go. Now you know. We're all learning today. We really, really are. Since we're talking about the right time that would be needed for the California State Fair Top Pot competition, I want to talk about the time that baseball fans have to put into watching their favorite baseball games. A guy named Carlos Olen Montevallo III, who I follow on Twitter, brought up the fact that nine-inning baseball games are lasting a record 3 hours and 9 minutes this season, and it's the third straight year the record will be broken despite baseball's efforts to have the exact opposite happen. Seven-inning doubleheaders and extra-inning ghost runner rules do not impact pace of play. Clearly, a 15-second pitch clock could be coming.
Good.
And on that note, I take you to an article written in The Athletic by Jason Stark. It was about how a minor league pitch clock has saved 20 minutes off game times in the low A West League, which used to be known as the California League. It's speeding up game time since it's been experimenting with a 15-second pitch clock in June. As a result, the league has cut game times by 21 minutes. That is the direct opposite of baseball, where the average time of a nine-inning game, again, is up by nearly 20 minutes over the last 10 years and by more than a half hour since the 80s. With major league games filled with plenty of dead time, the commissioner's office is taking notice. Quote from a former big leaguer, Raul Ibanez, "It's really an incredible experience." He is he's talking about the experiment in his role as the senior vice president of on-field operations for baseball. "It feels like baseball games that I grew up watching in the 80s had rhythm, and these games have it. Once that becomes clear, you can't stop yourself from being impressed by it." Jason Stark says on September 7th, he went to a Stockton Ports San Jose Giants game. It started a little after 6:30. It was over by 8:47 p.m. Do you know how many nine-inning major league games have been over in 2 hours and 13 minutes this year? A grand total of 2 out of more than 2,000 games played have come in the Greg Maddux-like time of 2 hours and 13 minutes. And what they're trying to deal with here in a 15-second pitch clock is to eliminate dead time. Every ounce of dead time was suctioned out of that minor league game. It was gone. It was not missed at all, writes Jason Stark for The Athletic.
It seems to address the biggest problem that baseball have, which is not time of game, but pace of game. It also avoids cutting commercial time, except for the fact that a lot of Major League Baseball games have commercials within innings, within play. And I'm willing to bet that even though the experiment clearly shows that you can whack up to a half an hour off a Major League Baseball game time, I'm not convinced that Major League Baseball will be moved by that logic. Only because they are, even more than ever, seriously money-grubbing every chance they get because they are convinced they have to make up the money they lost last year. Am I saying it's a good idea? I think it's worth investigating at the AAA level. I think it's worth trying a few games at the Major League level next year just to see what happens. The problem I see is that somebody's going to say, yeah, but then we don't get that, you know, Midas muffler ad in the fifth inning. And that has always been the most moving argument for these guys not to do anything about time or pace of game.
But I don't think a 15-second pitch clock would actually affect any of that. I mean, it has nothing to do with normal commercial breaks, right? But if you're talking about the in-game ads, all of those are between hitters. And I don't think it's a 15-second clock between hitters. So I think you'd still have time to squeeze your Midas ad in between the first and second hitter of the inning. I literally think there's no downside. I would be baffled if Major League Baseball didn't at least start considering this by applying it at AAA or something like that. Shocked. Why not?
Be prepared to be baffled.
I mean, they baffle me plenty, so that would not be an outlier. But
yeah, the outlier would be if they didn't baffle you.
You're right. I just don't see the downside at all. Even if you think about it from the cynical money perspective, it's still a 2 hour and 20 minute game where there's only 20 minutes of action. So there's plenty of time to sneak some other ads in.
So how does soccer deal with the fact that they don't take commercials at all during play? They figured out
ads in the corner.
Well, how about that, Major League Baseball? Why don't we just start that? Let's clear some of your inventory in game. You can kind of, you know, put a little box around it and give it a nice frame of a headline banner or an ad that goes down the right. How about this way? There are four sides to every television. I see four advertising opportunities that would not have anything to do with upsetting a pace of play.
I think this is a problem that Major League Baseball has demonstrated time and time again that it's not interested in addressing.
Yeah, I mean, but that's because they're stupid. I mean, there's no other way to say it. I know you're not saying otherwise. It's just at a certain point, it's stupid. Someone says from a 510 text, let Midas sponsor the clock. And here's something I would be interested in going off of that. Do we actually have any evidence to suggest that a 30-second commercial spot where people do a weird thing that I remember but don't remember to associate with Midas ever again, is that somehow more valuable than if Midas was in the corner of the screen for the whole damn game or a whole inning or something like that? Because my instinct is probably not. Probably just the brand recognition of having your name in front of someone for an hour at a time or whatever it ends up being, even if it's 10 minutes at a time. That probably has as much long-term impact as a 30-second spot in one or two commercial breaks. So none of this stuff has been rethought in like 50 years in terms of how you incorporate ads and make money off of them. I just somebody being willing to think outside the box a little bit, it seems like all those things could be easily addressed and potentially improved.
I don't disagree with any of it. I just know what the history of baseball is.
Yeah, they don't like to think outside the box.
Because even the idea of just, here, sponsor a half an inning, I have a hard time believing that somebody hasn't tossed that out in a meeting, and yet you never see anybody say, we're sponsoring the bottom of the fourth. And presumably you'd have to charge more for the bottom of the inning than the top. You could do anything you want.
Yep.
Right, you could dynamically price your in-game advertisement.
Yeah, which they do anyway.
You get the ad right before Buster Posey hits.
Yeah, it's just the fact that they haven't tried it does not suggest to me that it hasn't been introduced to them.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying.
it just seems so odd to be so upfront and forward facing on, you know, baseball's biggest concern. If you ask them, what is your biggest concern? It's time of game. Well, then do something about it. Like, do something about it. Or I'm going to say that your time of game concerns are as legitimate as your steroid concerns. You weren't concerned about steroids.
You just want to talk about it.
Yeah. You weren't. I mean, the only reason why steroids were in Major League Baseball is because that's exactly where Bud Selig wanted them. Full stop. He wanted them in baseball. Nobody was watching the sport until Sammy and Mark McGwire put on a fireworks show. And that wasn't going to get the plug pulled from it.
No, the only thing that got the plug pulled from it was George Mitchell. Because at that point, it suddenly became a thing that Washington could do something about. And it helped hasten the end of the Montreal Expos because they found a way to put a team back in Washington again, which was probably the thing George Mitchell wanted more than anything else, because there still are performance enhancers in baseball. It's just that, you know, the way the game is played now, you're getting all the homers you want without any of the other benefits because the other two-thirds of the game are walks and strikeouts.
Well, home runs are the new money ball. I mean, without a doubt. Forget about your on-base percentage or the ability to avoid making an out or whatever you wanted to say money ball was. The new money ball in baseball is the home run ball. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I always used to say that run differential is just a massive indicator of success of or contention. And I think we would all agree on that, right? Run differential is
generally
among the things that are very important to teams that fancy going somewhere in their baseball lives. So home run differential might be even bigger now than run differential. Coming into today, the Giants lead the National League in home runs and home run differential with 81. They've given up 147 home runs and hit 228. So they're plus 81 in home run differential. Here are the teams behind them. You tell me if this doesn't sound like who's who in the National League. The Dodgers are in second place. They're plus 50. The Braves are in third place, plus 54. The Cardinals in fourth place, plus 34. The Brewers in fifth place, plus 31. The Reds in sixth place, and they're just plus 12. Then you start looking at the teams who can't, who aren't, who are having terrible years. Well, the Cubs are minus 15. The Padres, why are they struggling this year? Because they're minus 16 in home run differential. The Pittsburgh Pirates, God bless them, they're minus 77 in home run differential. And then, Ray, your favorite baseball team of modern times, if not all times, the 2021 Arizona Diamondbacks, who are now, what, if you say 50 games under 500?
51.
51. Beautiful. The Diamondbacks are minus 85. Arizona's allowed 220 home runs and hit only 135 home runs.
Yeah,
home,
I don't want to...
home run differential.
I don't want to disappoint you, Ray, but they are 55 games under 500.
I misunderstood the question, and I thought how many games behind the Giants?
Ah, yeah, they are further than that behind the Giants. Yes,
yeah, so it's quite an accomplishment. Yeah,
they are further behind the Giants than they have won games this year.
Correct.
They're further behind the Giants than most modern American speed limits.
just by a skosh.
Yeah.
And if you're saying, wait a minute, that's usually 65, well, they got about 10 games left to play.
Give them time.
So, yeah, they could actually do that. They could actually do that. So what is the new money ball? I think it's the home run differential. The home run differential means more in a three-outcome existence than it could without it, you know, with more than just three outcomes, I guess. And on that note, as we're waiting for incredibly long baseball games to wrap up, have you guys seen the death of the triple? It's official. As of September 15th, 35% of all plate appearances in 2001 have ended in a home run, a walk, or a strikeout. This season, triples have occurred in 0.36% of all plate appearances, which is an all-time baseball low, discounting last year's COVID-shortened season. And 2021 is no aberration. The six lowest triple rates of all time have happened in the past decade. The current major league leader for the 2021 season, Arizona's David Peralta. At least they're doing something right. He has 8. That's it. The major league leader in triples, 8. If he fails to notch 2 more, it would be the first time in modern baseball history that not a single player reached double-digit 3-baggers. It's only happened once before, and that was in 1872 when a guy named Charlie the Bushel Basket Gould. Either way, what can you tell us about the Bushel Basket, Charlie?
1872? God, they've been doing this a long time.
Yeah. He led the National Association with 8 for the Boston Red Stockings.
Yeah, but that's when balls were actually stuffed with meat.
Right.
So when you hit them, they just went and fell down in front of the plate.
Someone saying,
was, stuffed with meat. Was it chopped meat or like a nice steak? Whatever
they could find. I mean, they weren't particular in 1872.
Guy from the 408 says, triples are more of a timing thing and a bounce thing, so shrug. Okay, well, there's never been timing or a lack of bouncing like this in the history of Major League Baseball, so clearly there's something else, and we're going to go back to the fact that in the 3-outcome rule, there's no contact. You either hit it out of the park, walk to first, or struck out. That is going to greatly retard the amount of triples you would see coming from at-bats that ended in those 3 ways. It is the death of contact, and what is odd about it is the other element that has nothing to do with timing or a bounce is raw speed. And I would wager to admit that there is more raw speed per... How do you measure the overall collective foot speed of Major League Baseball? I bet you the entirety of Major League Baseball's foot speed is faster today than it was 20 years ago because there's no such thing as athletes getting smaller or slower. That doesn't happen.
No, but in the current baseball, speed is diminished as a weapon.
Of course.
And it is not valued as a weapon. So that's part of it. The second thing is ballparks are, they're not nearly as deep in the alleys as they used to be, which means that if you're hitting fly balls, all you're really doing is giving outfielders more time to chase them down.
There's that. Yeah. And then there's, what's so funny is that it has been bandied about how at 24 Willie Mays Plaza, the huge 421, whatever it is now, part of the field, is fantastic for Major League Baseball because there's nothing more exciting than a triple. Actually, there's nothing more exciting than a bang-bang play, and that's usually a cruising into third standing-up level triple than it is a, oh, man, because he's so fast, he got in there. Quick play at third base, and he's safe. Bang-bang triples are fun.
I think
stand-up triples, not nearly.
One thing that would be kind of interesting to me is to find out whether overall in baseball... So I guess based on the 3 true outcomes, my guess would be that singles and doubles have declined as well. I mean, obviously, they were already much more common than triples, and they still are. But I'd be interested to know if triples have declined more, relatively speaking, than singles and doubles, because my guess would be that they have.
Well yeah, it's just doubles, a rarer thing to begin with.
Doubles are down about 15% from 2019. They're down about 600. Triples are down a little, slightly more, went from 400 to 329. This is probably going to be the first year ever where they don't get to 400 triples that I can see. At least, if you omit strike shortened seasons.
And I also wonder how much of that is a risk reward consideration, strategically speaking, that second base is scoring position. You're not gaining enough to risk it.
Right. Never make the first or third out at third base or home plate. But that's been baseball religion forever.
Yeah. But also,
but teams
when
are
you
more
diminish
risk-averse
speed
in that
as
way.
A weapon, the guys who can go to third are that much fewer.
Yeah. Yeah. But there are still, like Damon said, I bet the league is as fast as it's ever been overall. So I don't know that I think it's more the guys who have the ability have been discouraged from using it in so many ways, at least using it aggressively, that it, you know, that rolls over from not stealing bases as much to not going for that third base as much.
But if speed isn't valued, you know, I'm not sure that the game based on the players who are playing it now is increased, because they would rather reward Kyle Schwarber than a fast guy.
Billy Hamilton.
Are more guys like, well, Billy Hamilton can't hit, so he's probably a bad example.
Bite your tongue. He's got several home runs this year.
Nevertheless, he's Billy Hamilton, always will be.
That's ridiculous.
But I mean, that's if you just watch a regular game, you have a much better chance of seeing a Daniel Vogelbach than you will a high impact speed guy, because high impact speed isn't valued the way it used to be. So a guy who's got speed as one of his principal weapons is probably less likely to get playing time.
Yeah, maybe true.
A Thursday night football game only a mother could love is kicking off in just a little bit. We've also got a little sound from Jimmy Garoppolo stopping on by Rich Eisen's show. We're going to get into that. And does the NFL have an officiating problem once again? Well, the answer is already yes, and you knew that. So we'll explain what's going on there. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
It is great to have you around. We're about to hop into our longest commercial-free segment of the entire day. It's good to have you with us here. Damon Ratto and Kolsky with all hands on deck. And what do you know? We have yet more anxiety over the 49ers quarterback. But this time it's a guy who's got the job in Green Bay. It's got nothing to do with either Jimmy Garoppolo or Trey Lance, and we'll get to some sound from Jimmy Garoppolo talking about Trey Lance with Rich Eisen. But this is Mike Silver detailed the tension between Aaron Rodgers, that Aaron Rodgers basically caused in the Shanahan-Mike LaFleur friendship. Okay, well, you know, I'm sure you guys are going to figure it out. Matt LaFleur obviously is the Packers head coach. Well, Mike LaFleur, you know, is now the, what, offensive coordinator of the New York Jets?
Correct.
And before that all happened, minutes before the start of the 2001 draft, the 49ers offensive coordinator Mike McDaniel was having a little FaceTime conversation with two former assistants, Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur, who was Matt's younger brother. Well, while this FaceTime was happening, Mike Silver says that Kyle Shanahan, like, creeped on in and made a little banter about, like, hey, make sure you take Zach Wilson and not the guy we're interested in, because we haven't studied Zach Wilson very much. Again, at this point in time, the Jets selecting Zach Wilson was all fait accompli. Everyone knew that that was going to happen. The top two picks seemed to be in on any and all conceivable fronts. So he's joking around. And I guess Shanahan was joking with Saleh and Mike LaFleur, like, I hope you guys don't take a different quarterback and cross us up. We haven't looked hard enough at Wilson. What do you mean? You've already got your quarterback, Mike LaFleur replied to Shanahan. Aaron Rodgers, because apparently they were very interested in kicking the tires on Aaron Rodgers, and there was a pivot to, is this guy really available? Are the Packers going to let him go? And I guess Shanahan told Mike LaFleur, like, hey, tell your brother to call me back. He hasn't returned my calls. And LaFleur's response was, can you blame him? And Mike Silver says at that point, according to several people familiar with the call, Shanahan got visibly upset and hastily left the room. In his eyes, he had merely done due diligence on behalf of his franchise, but it was clear that Matt LaFleur viewed it differently. Oh, the drama. I'm over it. Like, I seriously, like, I'm over Aaron Rodgers drama. Kyle Shanahan said something that rubbed somebody the wrong way. Who cares? Who cares? I don't know. Like, Mike Silver put this out there today in a text Twitter kind of thing, and I don't know what really is there other than, hey, when you try to strip a future Hall of Fame quarterback from a franchise, that franchise might not take too kindly from it. Well, duh.
It's weird, though. The whole thing's weird. This story, like, if Mike Silver wasn't adding the color commentary of, you know, Shanahan got visibly upset and it was clear that Matt LaFleur viewed it, like, none of the words strike me as particularly inflammatory on either side. So it's just weird to me that people were upset about this. And also, like, if in fact Matt LaFleur is losing his temper that his pal Kyle Shanahan was interested in a potentially available Hall of Fame quarterback who just had an MVP level season, why?
Right, because you guys just drafted a replacement for a guy who really didn't look like he needed one, so maybe your plans are going forward with that and not with him. And oh, by the way, every single time he opens his mouth, he's expressing public dissatisfaction with where he's working, so yeah, we called.
And, like, let's be totally serious. If Andy Dalton was your quarterback and someone told you Russell Wilson was available, wouldn't you call?
Right.
Matt LaFleur? Like, why would that make you angry? And if your friends, didn't he just call you and you were like, nah, we're not trading him? And then it was over? Like, what? None of it really makes sense to me.
I think this was a case of lads being lads, and one guy just sort of got the arse at one remark. I don't think it was lingering. And I also don't care based on the fact that nothing changed anywhere.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is still in Green Bay. He's not in San Francisco.
He will be Sunday. Well, he won't be here on Sunday night, but
he'll never be here again.
You're right. Correct.
But no,
it's a nice city.
This is much ado about, I couldn't be less interested.
I mean,
and maybe that's my fault, but I don't see enough smoke to warrant the notion that there was at any point anything resembling fire.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
Just feels like, you know, Mike Silver wanted to get out a little bit of a sour grapes thread that would get people talking. And he did. We're talking about it. And Kyle Shanahan got asked about it, calling Aaron Rodgers this offseason.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a quick no. It was exactly what I thought it would be. But you hear enough stuff, and I think everyone knew what was going on at that time, that it didn't seem like it was worth the call. But I know how we would have felt if it was going to happen and that we didn't call. So you call and you get a quick answer, which is what you were expecting, and then you move on.
Yeah, Brian Sabian printed the T-shirt on that one. Due diligence. Just doing the due diligence.
Tires are meant to be kicked.
Absolutely they are. Jimmy Garoppolo found out about kicking the tires on Twitter.
No, I think just, I probably heard it through, like, I don't know, Twitter or something like that. I honestly didn't get any inkling of it or anything like that, but that's just kind of how the off season goes. You know, teams are always trying to look for something new, something better, and that's just kind of the nature of the beast, I guess.
There you go. And look, I mean, at least you got this going for you, Jimmy. The two guys that they inquired are first ballot Hall of Famers,
yeah.
Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. So there you go.
Those were the words of a man who knows deep in his soul that he's not and never will be as good as Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, like, he's not going to be like, look, the dude's a Hall of Famer. I get it. He's better than me. But that's basically what he's saying. Like, you know, I just, again, this is one of these things, like, if we're going to get our feelings hurt by sports teams trying to improve. I don't know. I don't
right.
know
what are we
to
doing
say.
Here? What right. are we doing here?
Well, it all comes back to this notion that every act is an act of disrespect.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, yeah, disrespect. When did that become coin of the realm? Because it, you know, all of competition is about sort of not respecting your opponent to one extent or another, or, you know, not respecting the coach across the way because you think you're smarter than he is.
I mean, with all due respect to me, if Aaron Rodgers declared himself ready to become a sports talk radio host, I wouldn't be offended if you guys gave him a call just to see if he was interested. You know, if you could upgrade from me to Aaron Rodgers, I would understand.
We don't know that it's an upgrade. All we know is he's a passable game show host.
Hold on.
R-E-L-A-X.
That's quality radio.
He's a little too sullen for me.
Not sullen enough for me.
Until you get him into your system, you know?
Maybe. Maybe I can get the springy happiness out of Aaron Rodgers. By the way, that springy happiness from Aaron Rodgers could be coming as soon as Halloween. Apparently, a story that I can't believe my producer put in front of me, but here it is, so I'll just read it to you. Aaron Rodgers says that his long hair is a year-long plan for his Halloween costume.
What? I have so much respect for that.
I don't recall. I'm kind of lost right now.
Shanna McCarriston has the story, saying that many have noticed that Aaron Rodgers is sporting a new look this season. The former MVP now has long hair, and there's a reason for it beyond style. Rodgers says the long hair is actual preparation for a Halloween costume. He said that on the Pat McAfee show. He's growing out the locks and has been in a year-long commitment that will be made clear to all what he is going to be doing come October 31st. This has been a year in the making for my costume. Now, his fiance, I believe, she's from Hollywood. So yeah. Wigs are available, readily available. But if you want to go au natural and do it, that's okay. That's fine. I support a good Halloween costume as much as the next guy. I think that that's an awful long way to go for what is going to be a very little payoff. Like, what is he going to be like? And he puts on a sweater and the sunglasses, and he's the Big Lebowski. Oh, look, here's the thing. I had long hair during the pandemic. I didn't get it cut once. And at one point, I was interested to see, like, how much longer can it get? Like, how much longer am I going to go with this? And it became like a personal dare to myself, so I let it go. And I'm like, I'm coming back to work. I'm going to go get a haircut now.
What do you think I'm doing with this beard, for God's sakes? I'm just trying to see. Just want to know. How long can it go?
How long? Are you going to go Damon Runyon on us? Are you going to go Rumpelstiltskin?
I will if I can. I'm finding the hair like in the middle of my chin maybe has a maximum length. I feel like it hasn't gotten longer in a while, but it's hard to tell because my beard hair is so curly, it grows at a very slow pace.
Well,
anyway, that's a story for another time. I am interested in what the costume is, right? I mean, because as you say, like, if the costume is the joke, like Heath Ledger's Joker, you could have just put on a wig. So why did you feel you had to grow your own hair? I would also like to know this. Have either of you guys ever incorporated natural elements into a Halloween costume in that way? Because I kind of have. Now, I didn't do anything for a year to set it up, but I have, like I was Wolverine once, and I legitimately shaved my face into, like, the Wolverine, you know.
So I bore witness to that, and I believe I high-fived you.
Yeah, yeah.
It was impressive. It was that you physically pulled off Wolverine in no part of your body but the haircut.
Correct. Yes, yes, yes.
But it looked good. I mean, there was no, like, what are you trying to be? Who are you supposed to? No,
I mean, I do not Wolverine look cut. Quite as good as Hugh Jackman in a tight white t-shirt, but I had claws, and I really nailed the facial hair.
You did. I'll give you that. Ray, what are you going to be for Halloween this year?
Absent. We That's my wife guy. And I have mastered the art of not being home.
You turn the lights off.
No. We're done with the whole candy thing. And they just, you know, we live in a neighborhood where there's almost no kids anyway.
That's good.
So we go to another couple's home, and they have a party every year. So we sit in the backyard and drink.
Top pot?
No, only because, I don't know, I think we just sit there and drink and listen to the doorbell ring and cackle gleefully as children walk away sullen and disappointed.
Just
listen
glad
to this guy cackle like a chicken on heroin.
Just happy it's not your doorbell.
Anyways, no, I haven't dressed up in a costume since I was 12.
I love a good costume. We have actually, around my house, been talking recently about Halloween costumes and considering doing a family thing, but then the wife found a costume for Griffin where he can dress as an excavator, and I'm not sure we're going to be able to move him off of that. Like, it's a costume that has
its own... I see what you did
life.
There. You're not going to be able to move him off right. The excavator.
We're not going to be able to bulldoze him out of that plan. You know what I mean?
Welcome to your 5 o'clock hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.